You're listening to the Dave Rothenberg Show podcast on ESPNNewYork.com.
Saturday morning, Rothenberg with you, 98.7 ESPN. This is the first week that you almost felt human as a sports fan. And we have a terrific show for you today. Was it the 12th? The 11th or the 12th? Whatever that Thursday was, where the Big East, in the most bizarre manners, played every tournament as, you know, Big Ten, we're not going to continue. ACC, we've made the executive decision to not continue. SEC, you know what, we've decided, guys, we can't continue. Big 12, no, we can't continue. But the Big East trudges on. And the Big East, on whatever that Thursday was, I think it might have been March the 12th. It was actually my birthday. It was the 12th, okay. March the 12th, which is actually my birthday. And the Big East, for some unforeseen reason, decides we will trudge on. We will start the first half of, it was St. John's and Seton Hall, I believe. And they go out there, and you talk about a cloud over a game. I mean, there's about 9 people in the crowd. You know that there's no way in any actuality that this Big East tournament will come to fruition throughout Saturday. But they play the first half, St. John's plays well, and then they decide, you know what, that's it, we got to stop this thing. From that day, and not even that day, because that was the most abnormal day of sports we've had, we have been, since March the 12th or 11th or that week, right, really since the Rudy Gobert situation went down, which is probably March the 11th, I guess, maybe it was the 10th, the 11th or the 10th, that evening, we have been so out of our element, and we have been so unsporty as a society. And not that we haven't talked it, because we've talked about Tom Seaver in the early 70s, and we've watched Super Bowl 42 and all these things, but you haven't had sports like you know it, right? And I don't know when we're going to have that again, to be honest with you. But for at least a few days, you felt normal or somewhat normal, or what has become the new normal, as a sports fan. So last Sunday, obviously, we have The Last Dance, and you see Jordan, which, and we'll get into that during the course of today as well, which for me was, and I understand, oh, it's great, and watching Michael, and what a warrior, and what a winner. Yeah, I love watching it, and it's intriguing, and it's interesting, and I'm sorry, it's also awful. As a Knicks fan who's bled over all those losses, who sat there and watched Michael Jordan abuse my team and every team endlessly, this was not some kumbaya moment for me. But on Sunday, we got the first two episodes of that, which, by the way, outstanding. Bloodletting aside, outstanding. And then this week, you had just draft talk, and where are the Giants going to go, and what are the Jets going to do, and how will Joe Douglas be? And I mean, it felt for a minute normal. And actually, on Thursday night, as I'm on Twitter, and you have the draft on, and you're watching it, and everyone's tweets, and everything is just, you know, really kind of moving quickly, I almost forgot for a couple times what's actually going on in the rest of the world. And I didn't know whether I was going to absolutely love the draft, or I may feel guilty about it. I didn't. And maybe I should have. I didn't. I just felt like, you know what? It feels right to watch sports. And that's what we finally had. Thursday night, the commissioner. And by the way, let me just say this. And you know this is true. I'm not going to sit here and wax poetic about something if I don't think it's well done. You know that about me, right? We've been doing this together long enough. ESPN's job and coverage and the way they've gone about this draft has been so good and almost seamless. Watching everything they've done has been almost seamless. I could deal without Roger Goodell's, I don't know, he's a little strange, right? And I actually like Roger Goodell, but the mannerisms, it's the fact that he's falling asleep in a chair last night. Does he have to interact with the fans behind him on the TV every time? Like, all right, Kansas City fans. Like, it's a little strange. So I could deal without that. And he's also, I mean, he should take a class or something. They should have some expert in in media, spend time with him, and just kind of go over the finer points when you're on television or talking to people. It's very odd. So I think he's a little odd with his whole thing. But overall, and another thing, and I got to say, and this is another negative, but otherwise I think it's been sensational. And just really, from everything that ESPN has done, from Trey Wingo to Mel Kiper to everyone, they've done such a great job. But the two things I will criticize, and I guess that's what the society we're in, right? We never lead with the positive, we lead with the negative. So let me give you the two. Goodell won. And the second thing, and I don't know if you feel like this like I do, I don't need to know every parent that's perished in a heartbreaking way for these kids. I mean, I get it. And by the way, the amount of negative issues that these draftees have endured during their lives has to be at a higher ratio than the average person walking around in this country, right? I mean, what out of every three of these draftees? It's like, well, his mom perished in a combine accident when he was 11, but he's persevered to reach heights that no one thought was possible. I mean, we got struck by lightnings, we got suicides, we got everything. So that is a little bit morbid, but really, in actuality, I absolutely think that ESPN, and I haven't watched the ABC coverage nearly as much, or really almost at all, because I want the harder core coverage, has been nothing shy of wonderful. So a great, great job by everybody at ESPN and ABC and the NFL Network. And I always liked Daniel Jeremiah, but I never got to see a ton of them because I don't watch a ton of the NFL Network. Most of my NFL and sports is consumed via ESPN. He's really, really good. I enjoy Kurt Warner, once in a blue moon that they actually go to Kurt Warner. So it's been enjoyable. And my original point was it's taken me out of this, oh my God, the sky is falling. Nothing will ever positive happen again in my life. All right, speaking of positive, and I was thinking, do we start Jets or Giants? I want to start Jets. And 800-919-3776. And I will tell you, I had a quiet confidence, and I've said it all the way through, and I've even said leading up to the draft, and you know, I'm of the mindset that Joe Douglas has carte blanche. You do what you're going to do. We'll react to it. But I have belief and I have confidence in him and his capabilities. I think he's done better than I even thought he would. I like the Mekhi Becton pick. You know it was a tremendous need. Now they have the 48th pick. He trades back and adds an additional selection there. Then they get a guy they probably still could have gotten at 48 in Denzel Mims. Then they take the Giants pick of 68. And I'm sorry, Ashton Davis. I hope you, well, I'm not going to say anything negative, but you know my thoughts on the 68th pick from Leonard Williams. They take this kid, who apparently very athletic, missed some time, wasn't able to work out at the combine. Not a great tackler, I was reading from Rich Cimini earlier today, but a pick with tremendous upside. And then the kid Zuniga from Florida with their second third-round pick. And then I think the Jets go, what do they go? They go early on today as well. So, and then they made the trade with the Patriots. Like, I really, really think that Joe Douglas has done very, very well. And then, of course, right away you got the Mims. I'm going to prove to everyone how great I am. They doubted me, and Zuniga said the same thing. So, which is great. I mean, you want to hear the chip on the shoulder of these kids. But you know what the Jets have done? They've gone after speed, which I like. Becton has a tremendous, tremendous upside. I really like what Joe Douglas has done so far. I really, really like it. Now, I don't know that Mims is going to contribute right away. And here's the thing about this draft, and this might be different than many of the drafts or any of the drafts we've seen. It's going to be so different, so foreign. Like, obviously, we're not going to have mini camps. You're not going to have OTAs. Hopefully, and we don't know that this is the case, we're going to have training camp start on time. Hopefully, we're going to have training camp start on time. So, all of the guys you might say, yeah, I look forward to seeing Mims and what he can do. I mean, you might almost look at the rookie season as a redshirt season. And I feel badly for these kids, and not all of them. I mean, not uniformly every single one is not going to be good or not going to contribute. But I think that the rookies of this year are in a tougher situation than rookies that we've seen in the past. Because you're not going to be with your team. You're learning a completely new system. You're not going to get together with your strength coach. I mean, all the things that you just take for granted that a lot of people probably don't even think about, you're not going to have as an option right now. So hopefully, and there's no way to know if this is actually accurate or not, hopefully when we get to July, that these guys will get into training camp and contact and meet their teams and all that stuff. But we don't even know that. But like my point was to start this whole thing, and we'll get into the Giants as well, and your calls at 800-919-3776. It's been a long time. And I'm telling you, every day of my life since I'm 5 years old, sports has been like the backdrop of it. And this is the first time that for weeks it wasn't. After 9/11, it wasn't for days. But you knew you weren't going to be, you know, sportsless for weeks and weeks and weeks. And it came back, and I think it really helped us in the healing process. And I think it'll do the same now. The question is when? And we don't have the answer. But for at least a couple days, and today's included. And I'm telling you, I love the draft. Like, I study up on it weeks, you know, months, weeks, every mock draft. Guys you never heard of that live in their parents' basement. I'm like, oh, let's see his mock draft. What he's got going. Oh, interesting. But this, I'm more locked in than I've ever been. I've actually watched. We're three rounds in. Every single selection. Like, my kids are off. They're like, Dad, you want to play Xbox? No. There's going to be plenty of time for Xbox. I got to see what disaster the Packers are going to make with their next selection. So we'll run through some of the most interesting picks as well. Polar opposite views as far as a couple of selections. The Jordan Love pick with Green Bay. I know Canty loves it. Rick hates it. I do as well. I do not. Why you have a quarterback, maybe at the back end of the prime of his career, but clearly, I mean, you were in the NFC Championship game last year. No one, I mean, if I said to you right now, outside of their best receiver, right, outside of, I can't even think of his name. What's his name? Kid, I think he went to Friends of State. What's his name? Yeah, I feel like I'm 86 years old. Outside of Devontae Adams, you probably can't even really name another receiver on Green Bay. And this is what they do? They take Jordan Love, who probably won't play for at least 3 years? This is ridiculous. And I understand the similarities. Well, this is when they took Aaron Rodgers to replace Brett Favre and blah, 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 blah. Fine. Aaron Rodgers says he wants to play to 41 years old, 42 years old. You're looking at 5-6 years. You couldn't get the guy a receiver in a deep, deep receiver draft or in the second round or in the third round? Now, I don't understand what the Packers are doing. And a lot of people love, oh, what the Eagles did. Jalen Hurts, what a brilliant selection. So you are basically telling me that we have zero confidence that Carson Wentz can stay healthy. Doesn't he? We have so little confidence in Carson Wentz that we have to take our second round pick and use it on a quarterback that's going to back up our starter. But we have no confidence in the starter to stay healthy that we need to move in that direction. I mean, if that's not a glaring, obvious issue with Wentz, I don't know what is. So we'll run through the other teams. We'll start with the Jets and the Giants. I got to tell you, and the Giants were apparently on the verge of trading back 36. And Gettleman said in his conference call after the pick. But McKinney, they loved him so much. And you hear it universally. Kiper, Jeremiah, from Gettleman, from Judge. They just said he was so good and too valuable and couldn't move on from him at 36. Because if they moved back, which I wanted them to do, and I think a lot of Giants fans wanted them to do, they never would have gotten this kid, ever. So they looked at it and said, he's too valuable to us at 36. So they snapped him up at 36 overall, which, look, it's hard to beat them up. And I had people texting me, see, you should have just kept Landon Collins. Landon Collins is in the midst of a five-year, $85 million deal. This kid is not. He's on a rookie wage scale. So I like it.
You're listening to the Dave Rothenberg Show podcast on ESPNNewYork.com.
So Robert, of course, is actually Ty, but this is typically about the time that we welcome you in on a Saturday morning, Robert/Ty. Good morning.
Good morning, David. How are you doing today? By the way, that open really did it for me.
I'm glad. You know, you, my mom, my wife very occasionally, and maybe a cousin will call me David. There are very few that walk this earth that actually refer to me as David.
I'm just honored to be in that grouping.
Yeah, it's quite the grouping.
I feel pretty good to be a part of that.
It's quite the grouping. So how are you?
I'm doing pretty well, man. All things considered, there's a lot going on, obviously, in the world, but I can't complain given the situation I'm in. I'm healthy. I'm happy. My family's healthy and happy. I'm good to go here on Saturday with you.
Well, I'm pleased, very pleased to hear such good news from you. So would you concur? You agree that the draft has been a really nice distraction so far in 2 days?
Absolutely. And I would say that in terms of like interest level, it was the highest it had ever been. And this includes, like, as a Jets fan, it feels like every 3 years we're looking for a quarterback. So that, you know, that is going to generate interest. But as far as just not having sports and finally, as you mentioned, the Jordan documentary was sensational. You know, I'm a hoops head, but going this long without sports, this felt like an event. And especially with like, you know, you didn't, this was a situation where it was something that had never been done before. Like they were drafting from their homes, all these cameras. So
I know it's so strange, and really, I started the show with this. It's so well done. I mean, the amount of effort and work that's going into it. You got Trey all alone, then you have all these different analysts all over the country. You got Michael Irvin and Kurt Warner and Kuiper and you know Schefter and just Mortensen, just littered all over the country. And you got to navigate through that, and it's just it's been a sensational draft, and I'm locked in, and like typically today I would just follow it on my phone. It's all right. Giants are going to go where? And Giants have a lot of picks. I think they have 4 7th round picks today.
That's what happens when you stink.
First of all, what are you doing?
I'm just stating the obvious. Like
I mean,
typically, when
a
team is bad,
you make it sound like you're a Patriots fan. You're a Jets fan.
No, the Patriots stink too. But typically, when a team is bad, they have a lot of draft picks. That's what usually happens. I don't know if you're into the football or if you know about the sport, but that's usually what happens.
Well, no, actually, technically, that's not usually what happens. Usually, you have very high draft picks. You don't usually have many 7th-round picks when you're very bad.
Yeah, but then you trade down. You try to tank, so you trade away players.
Listen, do me a favor, okay? I'm in the middle of speaking. You had your time. We welcomed you in. I'm a big fan of yours, but, I mean, I think at this point you're being disrespectful.
I'm sorry. Before I go, though, I would say, like, the Leonard Williams trade, that ended up being what the Jets got in the third round, actually. So shout out to y'all for giving us that pick.
Yeah. Well, hopefully he never sees the field.
Well, I mean, why would you ever say
Listen,
that?
I'm just saying. As a Giants fan, that 68th pick, I do not wish tremendous success.
Why? This is the biggest day of his life.
I'm glad. Good. Good for him. I'm glad. I hope it's a wonderful day, and I hope he has tremendous life success. I just hope that for the Jets. Listen, I hope that the Jets cut him, and he turns out to be the next Deion Sanders.
Well,
I
now, what
the
if,
Jets.
What if
I do not want him to be a good player.
Now, what if
it.
People say that about Andrew Thomas?
Well, why? Why would you as a Jets fan want anything negative for Andrew Thomas?
Well, because he was a potential tackle that the Jets could have had, and, you know, the Giants took him at number 4.
Well, the Giants, right, an advantage by being so bad another consecutive season to take whoever we want at number 4. And that's the thing. Let's go there. We'll get to the calls at 800-919-3776. I don't want to hear anybody with, well, Andrew Thomas was the 4th rated. First of all, stop it. You don't know. I mean, everything that you know, almost everything that you gather and garner from this draft stuff is based off of what Mel Kiper and Daniel Jeremiah and guys that do mock drafts do. Now, if you want to play that game, Mike Tenenbaum loves him, loves Andrew Thomas. Thinks he told us many times. I texted with him the other night after the pick. I said, you love him? Love him. It's a great selection. So, I mean, he started at right tackle for Georgia, was terrific in his freshman year, moved to the left side for 2 years. I mean, went up against the best competition and was a terrific player. So if the Giants went with Derek Brown, which is another defensive tackle, which just is not something they really needed, I would have gone crazy. I would have been fine if Simmons was taken at 4. I would have been fine if they moved back at 4. And I would have been fine if they took Becton, Wills, Wirfs, or Thomas. So if you're of the mindset that this is just a horrendous pick and Gettleman doesn't know, I don't love Gettleman either. And I don't know that the Giants are going to win more than 5 games if you have a season this coming year. But for God's sakes, to sit here and just beat him up over everything he does, it's ridiculous. His setup is awful. It's archaic. There's no way that, you know what? Have a little bit of confidence that Joe Judge is competent. That they can figure out a way to make the selection that they want. And again, I am no Gettleman fan. I actually do not like him. But then you have the other side, the people that no matter when, why is he wearing a mask in his own home? Well, because he had cancer 2 years ago. That's why. Because the guy's recovering from cancer. And he's being safe. And the Giants have an IT guy in his home. And who else really do we know is prancing around through his home from the organization? But I saw that all over. I mean, what's going on with Dave Gettleman? Because that's the thing, right? You just you pile on, just make fun of him nonstop. It's at this point, it's enough. If you want to, you know, critique his draft picks, fine. But if you want to beat him up just for the sake of beating him up, do it elsewhere. 800-919-3776. So I like what the Giants have done. I like Thomas. I really like McKinney. And I think the kid out of UConn, I mean, the potential's there. The promise is there. Do I wish I had 68? Yeah, God, I do. Desperately. But I don't. And the Giants have a lot of picks today. They go early on. We'll see if they take a center, an edge rusher. And this is just best player available. That's it for the rest of the way. Because he needs everything. Outside of quarterback and running back, what do you, if the Giants took a receiver, you need receiver. If the Giants took offensive line, you need offensive line. If you took edge rusher, defensive line, linebacker, safety, corner, you need everything. I was texting with Rick last night. He says, how do you feel about a safety at 36? I feel great about it. I need it. I would have felt great about it, anything. Another offensive lineman, a center, a defensive end, a safety, a corner. When you're bad, you need a lot. And guys, this team needs a lot. So you can call up and beat what the Giants have done to a drum and say how disappointed you are. I don't know why. I don't know why. 800-919-3776. It's not a Saturday without Spike in Jersey. Good morning, Spike. You're first up on 98.7 ESPN.
Well, good morning, David. And I want to join that illustrious crew of your mother, sometimes your wife, and Robert calling you, David.
There's not a lot of people that call me David out there, but Spike, you can hop on the bandwagon. Go
well,
ahead.
Thank you. It's quite a bandwagon, awfully comfortable. I'm really happy. You have a up your tenor in your voices at a new level. Football to you is like an infusion of watching your kids make the game-winning shot or something. It's just so nice to hear. And I said it to you last week, and you were very kind to me, as you always are. We kibitz a lot, but it's just nice to have you back. It really is. It brings things in perspective. And Robert does a terrific job, as does Kyrie.
He's terrific, right? He does a great job. And before, and Spike, I'll let you continue in a second, because this is what got me into trouble last week. So Ty, that we affectionately call Robert on the other side, does a great job, and I bring him on air a lot. Kyrie gets very sensitive and sends me emails if I don't give him the love and adoration that he thinks he's deserving of. So let me do that early on today so I don't receive another scathing email. Kyrie, Spike, and you can concur, Kyrie also does a very fine job helping out on the show.
Excellent job, and we chit-chat about his children, and he said, you got a great crew. Everybody's nice there, and I always look at the glass half full. You've known me a long time. One thing on the draft, I'm not into it like, obviously, you are. Very few on the planet are, and it's great that you are, because you're a go-to guy like the experts on television. Not that you're not an expert, but I didn't understand one thing with the Jets. I'm a Giants fan, but I do not dislike the Jets. Why? First of all, two things. Why did they draft that safety? Is that an indication Jamal Adams will be gone?
I don't think so. I was reading earlier today that they are completely different safeties.
Okay.
Come on, Jamal Adams is a star. This kid is going to be, if you get anything out of him this coming season, it would be a bonus. So I don't think one has anything to do with the other.
All right, last thing, and thanks for the time, and have a great week, and hopefully we're on the downslide of this horrific thing. I wouldn't make a deal with Bill Belichick. He's the guy when you grew up, a guy would always say, don't make a deal with him. You'll shake hands with him and you'll have three fingers less. There's just something about Belichick. I wouldn't sell him short this year. I don't know if this is the quarterback Stidham. I think he may pull someone out. He won't take Hoyer. He may pull someone out. I don't know what they're going to do, but he's the last guy in the world I would trust. Don't you agree?
Yeah, but here's the thing. Yes, I do agree, but I can't live my life thinking I can't make a trade with New England because he's some evil genius. Like, you're Joe Douglas. You get a third and a fourth for your third? I think it was the right move. So I don't, you know, listen, and he was smart with what he said after. They talked about, you know, the trade with New England. He said it was a good trade for the Jets. It was a trade we felt necessary to make. So good on him for that. I do agree with you. It's like, God, Belichick is so smart and so like a chess player, right? Like nine moves down the road. But you know what? Have some conviction in what you're doing as well if you're Joe Douglas. I think Joe Douglas has done a great job so far. You know, free agency I thought was fine. He didn't add any piece. You look at it, you're like, oh my God, we got this stuff. We got Jack Conklin. We got, you know, Clowney, nothing like that. But and I don't even want to say solidified, because it's not solidified. You strengthen the offensive line, then you do it again in a big way with the 11th overall selection. And I think you've done really well with receiver and safety and edge rusher. And now you have more picks today. You'd be hard pressed to sit here and tell me that Joe Douglas has not done a really good job. I like what the Jets have done. I really like what the Browns have done. We'll go through it as we move forward this morning, but there are certain teams that have done really, really well. And I would put the Jets right up in that category. They've done really, really well. 800-919-3776. Quick break. Come back. Get to your calls. Connor Rogers, 10 o'clock from Bleacher Report. Stump Rothenberg at 10:30. I mean, this is where you need to be. And of course you will be. And by the way, and this is terrific news, Anita, who has not been on for weeks and weeks for obvious reasons, she is back at noon today. So you got me leading into Anita, into the draft rounds 4-7. So this is a good day, as most are right here.
You're listening to the Dave Rothenberg Show podcast on ESPNNewYork.com. He's pompous.
Listen, shut up and I'll tell you the story.
He's arrogant.
Do you think there's a lot of things out there that I wouldn't be good at?
And sometimes he's downright mean.
I know you know what that's like, to be that uncomfortable, pimply face, not very popular kid.
But now it's your chance to prove him wrong.
It's dumb.
Call 800-919-3776 with your question and let's stump Dave Rothenberg.
All right, here we go. Stump Rothenberg, Saturday edition. The excitement is, it's like we say, palpable in the industry. And Stump Rothenberg brought to you by the law offices of one Andrew M. Cohen. I honestly, when they make the legal Mount Rushmore, I see no way that Andrew M. Cohen is not on it. I'll tell you all about Andrew M. Cohen after another successful edition of Stump Rothenberg. All right, Ty, how you feeling? You feel nervous? You excited? You ready to roll? What's your stress level at right now?
I'm a little nervous today.
For me? The questions? For the callers? For
no,
who?
No, I have the utmost confidence in Kyrie. And you try to disrespect. I'm not going to allow that to happen. I've got to have it.
I'll tell you why. Because K's show, they do Last One Standing. And the questions presented by one Andrew M. Gunling are just...
Is his middle name actually something that starts with an M?
Yeah, Andrew Maurice Gunling. Are beautiful. Beautiful.
So you would describe it. Beautiful would be the best way to describe his questions.
Like he asked these questions. I don't just think these are beautiful questions. And then there's the occasion when Kyrie allows, you know, one to slip past the goalie. So I feel like my expectation of you now, Kai, seeing what Andrew M. Gunling does on a daily basis on the K Show, I need greatness. I need greatness from you, Ty. I need greatness from Kyrie.
And we need greatness from you. No excuses. No excuses.
Okay.
We need better than 500 today. How about that?
I don't know the last time we weren't better than 500. Let's get rolling. Let's go. Evan Lindenhurst, you lead off. Stump Rothenberg. Go ahead, Evan.
Good morning. I have a basketball question for you, specifically about the Knicks.
Okay.
So a couple months ago, Steph Curry said that he wanted to get drafted by the Knicks in the 2009 NBA draft. He was picked seventh by the Warriors. The Knicks had the eighth pick that year. The player that the Knicks selected ended up playing only 24 games for the Knicks and is out of the NBA. What's his name?
This seems like it's very easy. I mean, that's Jordan Hill from Arizona.
That's right, yeah.
All right. Yeah, that didn't go over all that well.
What an embarrassment. Come on.
What'd you say?
I said, what an embarrassment. Everyone knows it was Jordan Hill.
You know what? Stop it.
And by the way, he wasn't out of the league. He eventually played for the Lakers.
Oh, he was great. Yeah, he was a star. It was a great pick, eighth overall. You know, why when I get one right, do you have to poo-poo that?
Well, because, I mean, you're asking a Knicks fan that type of question. who was drafted after Steph Curry.
So what? He deemed it as a good question. I think most of the listening audience enjoyed that question.
You know what I noticed?
I got it right.
No,
so
no, no.
Simply, you frown on it. I'm not going to let you rain on my parade. I'm not going to let that happen.
You've never called
it. I'm not letting
question.
That happen. I have a lot of people lined up here. I'm not letting you, you know, rain on the parade of Stump Rothenberg. Sam in Brooklyn. Sam, you're next up.
Hey, Dave. How's it going?
What's up, Sam? Now, Sam, if memory serves correctly, I've been really good against your questions so far.
You have.
Yeah.
And so I'm a little nerved up. But, you know, here we go.
Do you feel like I'm in your head right now?
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. You have been for 20 minutes.
So. By the way, you love this segment, don't you?
You bring so much joy to us every single week, and I just wanted to say that, too.
You're
I don't want to waste your airtime, but...
I see what you're buttering me up so that my head is not focused for your difficult question. Go ahead.
I can see how you would think that. I didn't mean it that way, but maybe I am. No. All right, we're going movies. So in the movie Jaws, what is the name of the woman who broke Richard Dreyfuss's character's heart?
Who broke up? So we don't see her, but she broke up with him.
She broke his heart. It's when they're discussing their scars.
Oh, and doesn't he have a tattoo of her?
Mm-hmm.
Oh. God. That's a nice, and they're talking about the sharks that Yeah, I don't, oh God. I don't remember, oh God. I don't think I know. I don't remember. You got me today.
I got you today.
What's the answer?
Mary Ellen Moffat.
Mary Ellen. All right. There you go. Good job. All right. I appreciate you. Okay. You only have to play the buzzer 5 times. 1-1. Tough question. Steve in Brooklyn. Steve, you're next up on Stump Rothenberg.
NBA, Dave.
Okay.
Jamal Crawford has scored the most points, 19,414, without ever making an All-Star game. Who is next?
Most points without ever making an All-Star game. All right. Is this... I guess you're not going to answer any questions. It's got to be somewhat recent, I would think. Ty, you have any idea of this?
I don't know. I'm inclined to say Vince Carter, but then I believe he's had to have made an
Vince
All-Star
Carter.
Game. He's had to have made an All-Star game.
Of course. I was thinking like Rod Strickland. How about like a Brent Barry? Someone like that. There's no way Vince Carter could be the answer. I'm going to guess Rod Strickland.
Eddie Johnson.
All right. I mean, these questions are insanity today, Ty.
Played for the Suns.
If you would ask me what team Eddie Johnson played for, I would get that correct.
Eddie Johnson's a friend of mine, by the way.
Might be your best friend. It's a brutal question. All right, Chris in Sayreville. Chris, you're on Stump Rothenberg.
Morning, Dave. Good morning, Dave.
Good morning, Chris. Chris, is your question gettable?
Yeah, it's a Seinfeld question for you. No, that's right up your alley.
I'm going to roll up. I'm wearing a sweatshirt. I just rolled up my sleeves. I'm ready.
Okay.
But is this going to be like, some obscure Seinfeld question?
No, they made a whole episode about it, so hopefully you can get it.
Okay.
So you ready?
Mm-hmm.
What is George's secret ATM code?
Bosco.
Oh, that was too easy for you.
No, I mean, come on. Play the dinger, Ty. Play it. Anytime now. You know, the buzzer just explodes off your fingertips when I get it wrong, but I get it right and I get nothing.
I notice how whenever you answer an easy question correctly, you never call it a bad one.
Well, that's a nice question, but that's a normal-sized question.
I still can't get over the Jordan Hill question.
I mean, the most points for anyone in the NBA to not play
that's
in an All-Star
question.
Game?
That's a
brutal question.
No, that's an amazing question.
We have to have a line of demarcation where it's got to be somewhat attainable.
It's a great question. Oh, my God.
Let's go to Chris. Chris and Bethpage usually asks good questions. Chris, you're next up on Stump Rothenberg.
Yes, thank you, Dave. And I was going to say, I should be risen to the point of unscreenable. In other words, I just call up, I say, it's Chris from Bethpage.
Really?
Right,
so you're at the point where you think, like, 98.7 ESPN, Chris from Bethpage. All right, Chris, hold on. We know that you're a genius when it comes to Stump Rothenberg.
Yeah, I think I've risen to that level, Dave, over the last 2.5 years that I've been doing this with you. And I think I'm about 500 with your lifetime if we're keeping track. So, you know, sometimes you get me, sometimes I get you.
All right, well, let's see what happens today. Where are we going today? What's your category?
We're going to go, we're going to stay in the mode here. And we're going to go with basically Joe Burrow. I'm going to say this. Joe Burrow became the fifth person ever to win a Heisman, to win a national title, and to be the overall first pick in the draft. Who was the first? He became the fifth. Who was the first person to accomplish that triumvirate?
Give me this. It's Heisman, national title, and Super Bowl?
No. No. It can't be Super Bowl. Yeah, Joe Burrow, you know, whatever. National title in college football, winning a national title.
Heisman national title in what?
And overall number one pick in the draft.
He
became the fifth. And I'll tell you this much, Cam Newton was the last person before Burrow to do it. Who was the first guy to do it?
The first guy to do it.
Right.
Heisman national championship.
Overall number one pick. And they mentioned it a couple of times the other night, actually, but that's why I'm giving it to you, because they did mention it. When Burrow did it, he became the fifth person to do this.
The fifth? Oh, boy.
Who was the first?
Now, Davey O'Brien, I think, did, but that's going back a very long
time. No, he's not the answer.
Yeah.
I'll also tell you that O.J. did it. He's one of the guys that did it, but he wasn't the first. I'll give you a hint. He wasn't the first.
He wasn't the first. Did this person play for the Naval Academy?
No, but you're in that area, though. No, he did not. But he won it right around when I know you're talking about Doc Blanchard and Glenn Davis.
Yeah, Mr. Atzlet, so it's not one of those guys.
But right in that era. I'm giving you a hint. Who was great team back then in that era?
Notre Dame.
There you go.
So is it Johnny Lujack?
Angelo Bertelli.
All right. And that would have probably been early 40s then. All right. Okay. We move along. 800-919-3776. Ty, you have typically your questions are substandard. Do you have a question you'd like to ask here?
So I flirted with a question that I thought might have been too easy. I was going to ask you in that 94 playoff series, Bulls-Knicks,
not answering this, by the way, if you think it's too easy, but go ahead.
Jordan, after Jordan had retired, Knicks-Bulls with the Knicks up.
Hugh Hollins.
No. So it was who for the Bulls hit the game-winning shot at the buzzer in game 3? Knicks were up 2-0 in the series. Game 3 at home for Chicago. Who hit the... Oh, so now I'm thinking maybe I should have asked this question because I thought you would know. This is right in your wheelhouse.
Well, you didn't even give me a chance to answer the question.
Would you have known the answer to that question?
Is that the game that Pippen wouldn't go in?
Yes.
That Kukoc hit the shot at the buzzer?
Yes, that's the question. But that's not my question.
So I get it right, and that's not your question.
Let's go football.
Had I said, is that Craig Hodges? You'd be like, no, I'm sorry. That's a miss by you.
Well, you know what we do here. So I saw this courtesy of ESPN Stats and Info, and I found it interesting. Name the only franchise in existence.
In the four major sports?
No, football, NFL draft.
Okay. I didn't know you were going football.
Stay with me here, buddy. The only franchise in existence since the 1970 NFL-AFL merger to not draft a future Hall of Famer in the first round.
Anthony Munoz is a first rounder. I wonder if you wouldn't ask it if it was the Jets. It's clearly not the Giants. It's not the Cowboys. Um,
I wonder if it could be the Buccaneers. Was Derek Brooks a first rounder? It could be the Bucks. Am I working with anything here?
Dave, you know me better than to give you hints. I'm not going to.
So you're not going to give me anything.
Yeah, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm sorry.
It's not the Redskins. It's not the. I mean, I can't. I don't want to go through every team here. If I had 10 minutes, I could get this. Since when? Since the Super Bowl era?
Yes.
I mean, I mean, if the Oilers have one, we're going to eliminate the Titans then, right? It's that organization.
Yes.
All right. The Raiders, obviously, with Marcus Allen. How about the Patriots? Do the Patriots have the Hall of Famer? I'm gonna keep New England on the side. I'm gonna keep Tampa on the side. The Colts have Elway. The Rams have Dickerson. The Bills have Kelly. The Dolphins have Marino, all in that draft. Now, Steve Young was drafted by the Buccaneers. Does that eliminate them?
Yes.
Okay. The Bills, no. I don't want to take an hour here. So, if I had 10 minutes, I think I could navigate through this. Cortez Kennedy was the Seahawks. Seau was the Chargers. We know the Cowboys have a bunch. Falcons are another team that jumps to mind. I'm going to guess the Atlanta Falcons.
I'm sorry, David. You are many things. Clearly, football genius is not one of them. The answer to that question would be the Philadelphia Eagles, the only franchise in existence since the 1970 NFL-AFL merger to not draft a future Hall of Famer in the first round.
Well, good question. I still think it took too much time to go through them all.
You can say what you want. You got it wrong. What are you now, 1-3? That's what matters here.
I think 2-4. I think 2-4. I think the level of question has jumped the shark a little bit, though. I mean, the questions are just...
You're losing the genius. Like, something's happening.
I don't like the way you go about it either, to be honest. Where you ask a question, I get it right. You're like, well, that's not my question.
Well, I told you this is not going to be the question.
I should have answered. I should have said, I don't know. I should have protested that one. Let's go to Dave and Edison, because hopefully Dave gets us back on track with a better variety of questions. Hey. Go ahead, Dave.
Hey, Dave. I was 0-4, but I got you last week with the Rocky Hall. Yeah, so we're trying to go for 2 in a row here.
Do you ask a decent question, Dave?
This is a very decent question.
Okay, good.
The Patriots under Bill Belichick, who has the most rushing yards?
You're talking about career under Belichick?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
All right, so where could it be? It could be... Could be Corey Dillon. Could be Ben Jarvis Green Ellis. Could be Kevin Falk. I mean, their all-time leader's got to be Sam Cunningham, but he's obviously not a...
Yeah, he is their all-time leader.
He's not a Belichick guy. So I'm thinking LeGarrette Blount, Antoine Smith, Kevin Falk are my guys. Curtis Martin's got to be more, too, but he's not a Belichick guy. Now, this player must have played the entire time when Bill Belichick was head coach, right?
I believe he did, yes.
All right, I'm going to guess Kevin Falk, then.
Yep, that's correct.
See that tie? A gettable yet difficult question. Do you see what happens there?
I don't want to hear from you. I don't want to hear from you.
Yeah, it just pains you that when the questions are somewhat serviceable, I'm able to get them correct.
You're a whiner. You just complain. You mope around. Stop it. Just be better than what you are.
Kathy,
be better
I just
than
got
what
one. Let's go to Kathy in Yorktown. Kathy, how are you? You're on Stump Rothenberg.
Hi, Dave. Great to hear your voice again.
Thanks, Kathy.
I'm feeling a lot of pressure with these questions today. I feel like the bar is set high.
Do you find, Kathy, before we bring you on for yours, do you find that some of the questions asked are ridiculous?
Esoteric? Yeah, that would be the word I would use.
That's the word I would use as well. Esoteric, Kathy.
Anyway, I'm going geography.
Okay.
Okay, so what is the name of the southernmost latitude where the sun can be seen directly overhead?
Give me this again.
Okay. What is the name?
I don't know that I even understand it.
You will. What is the name, such as the equator, which is the midpoint, What is the southernmost latitude where the sun can be seen directly overhead? There's one in the south. There's one in the north. They have a name. It has to do with the signs of the zodiac. I will give you that clue.
Oh, all right then. So is it the Tropic of... I don't know which is Capricorn?
Yes, it's Capricorn. Yes. Oh! Yeah.
Now, in fairness, and I appreciate the little assist there, I don't think I would have gotten it if she didn't say signs of the zodiac. But she did, and I did, and that, my friend, is now two in a row. Ty, we did it last week, so it wouldn't be unprecedented. How do you feel about quick break, come back, more Stump Rothenberg?
It wouldn't be on what?
It wouldn't be unprecedented because we did it last week.
Oh, I thought you fumbled there a little bit. Yeah, let's do it. Let's break, and then we come back and do it again. And our guy Kyrie's got a question again.
Yeah, he has got some great ones. Before we break, I've gotten how many in a row right now?
Two in a row.
Right. We'll be back with more Stump Rothenberg on 98.7 ESPN.
You're listening to the Dave Rothenberg Show podcast on ESPNNewYork.com.
And we're back. Stump Rothenberg with you on a Saturday continues, spills over, really, into a second segment. We're 4-4, 800-919-3776. Now, you say Kyrie has a question. Kyrie's question last week, Ty, was horrendous. But I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt because I like him. So, Kyrie, if you will, you're up for your question.
Okay, let's just tell him it's two and just ask him the name of one of the two.
You're on the air. You're on the air. So continue. Now, this is not going as I had anticipated.
Oh, okay.
Does he have any ideas on the air right now?
I have an idea. I do know that I'm on the air now. Thank you.
Okay. Kyrie, we welcome you aboard. You're doing your
work. Jerry takes Screamy's calls, might I ask.
You're not doing a great job screening the calls, but leave that to the side for now. You go ahead with your question.
All right. So, Princeton University, as we all know, is located in Princeton, New Jersey. It has been for a long time. But what was the first location, Princeton University?
So, Princeton University had a location prior to Princeton?
Yes.
Huh. All right. Well, I think that...
And I'll give you a hint. It's in New Jersey.
Yeah, I think Elizabeth, New Jersey.
That's correct, yeah.
That'd be 5-4. That'd be 5-4. And that'd be above 500. So really, in theory, Ty, we could stop right now and have a what we would consider the successful edition of Stump Rothenberg, but we won't do that.
In theory, but...
In theory. Not even in theory. I mean, in actuality, we stop now, we're 5-4, it's a success.
No, but not all championships are created equally.
We don't play like that. We continue. We trudge, as some would say. Sal in Dutchess, you're next up on Stump.
Good morning, guys. Okay, you have to be a Paul Newman fan to get this one, okay?
All right.
In 1977, Paul Newman and Robbie Anderson played in a movie together. What was the name of the movie? It was a basketball movie more than... He was a construction worker. And the son was going out for the team.
Who's the other one?
Robbie Anderson.
Robbie Anderson?
Yep. He played, besides that one, it was in 1977, the same year as Slapshot was done. He also played in Ice Capades when the girlfriend got blind and she was an ice skater. That's Robbie Anderson. I never heard of Robbie Anderson.
Robbie Anderson? And he was a somewhat well-known actor?
Well, he was back then. After that, he made a few movies, and then that was it. He was also in...
Hang on a second. Are you talking about Robbie Benson?
Oh, Benson. I'm sorry. Yes. Robbie Benson. My bad.
All right. Now, they were in Harry and Son together.
I'm sorry. Yeah, it was...
Are you looking Harry and Son?
No. It was he was a basketball player. That's the only basketball movie that it was. It was more towards the movie that he was a Robbie Benson.
I don't know what movie, but I mean,
you were probably in kindergarten by
then.
No,
Robbie Benson was in that movie where he got beat up. when he was the basketball player. But I didn't know. I don't remember Paul Newman being in that. One-on-one?
One-on-one, exactly. That was the name of the movie. Paul Newman was the construction worker. He was losing his vision and stuff like that.
All right, I don't have and you
but you got it. It was one on one.
I got that correct. I don't have any recollection. Ty, you could play any recollection of Paul Newman being in that, but one on one is a movie I absolutely remember. Annette O'Toole was the female lead, and in fact Melanie Griffith I think was also in it. But you'll have to look this up, Ty. I don't have any recollection of Paul Newman being in one on one. He was in Harry and Son, but that became that was later after 1977. All right, so that's it. We're done. 6-4. 6-4. How you feeling?
I don't feel great ending on that.
Not my fault.
I understand. And Sal's a great caller, but there was a lot going on there. I mean,
But the fact that I was able to decipher, to pick through the weeds and still get that question right is...
I don't know. I'm not going to give you credit for that because...
You want to say 5-4? We'll say 5-4. Still above 500. Stump Rothenberg. There are certain attorneys that when you hear of them, you just stop. You take notice of where you are. Well, the law offices of Andrew M. Cohen would be one of those attorneys. And they're the ones that bring you Stump Rothenberg. Whether the issue is simple or complex, the law office of Andrew M. Cohen can help you achieve your needs through very careful legal planning. And here's the beauty. As you're locked away at home, socially distancing, there's no better time to change your power of attorney. Healthcare proxy. You can do it, and you can do it all virtually right now. Wills virtually right now. How do you do it? Here's the answer. 516-877-0595. Or, so simple, visit amcohenlaw.com.
You're listening to the Dave Rothenberg Show podcast on ESPNNewYork.com. It's time for a frenzy. A football frenzy. Any team, any player, any question. Call now at 800-919-3776 or tweet at Rothenberg ESPN, hashtag football frenzy, and ask us your NFL questions.
All right, so the phone lines are all lit up because people love a good frenzy, and the tweets are pouring in at Rothenberg ESPN. And I know Ty's got many, many questions. So I know how important this is to you, and you're the really responsible party for the frenzy. So why don't you lead us off with your question of the frenzy?
All right, Dave, and first of all, how dare you doubt my genius? Phone lines lit up, and, you know, everyone's into this. All right, let's go back to Green Bay because I think what's developing here is something interesting. Do you think Aaron Rodgers finishes his career with the Packers?
No. I think they have basically, you talk about shots fired, they fired the first shots. It's obvious that they're thinking about a succession plan. Think about this. He wants to play at least 41, 42. He's 36, he'll be 37 to start next season. You would have to give Jordan Love a second contract, in theory, without ever really having seen him play, unless Aaron Rodgers goes down. So, no, I think this is the beginning of the end. And I'm not saying that they're going to move on from Rodgers now, but I think this is the beginning of the end for Aaron Rodgers and his career with the Green Bay Packers. So to answer your question, as long-winded and drawn out as I possibly can, no, I do not think he ends his career with the Green Bay Packers. Let's rapidly move along because that's the point of the segment. Andrew in Long Island. Andrew, you're next up on the frenzy.
J3 NFL draft. Who do the Jets and Giants need to get today?
I think both teams could use corners. I think both teams could use edge rushers. I think the Jets absolutely need to bring in a quarterback, a running back. At this point, what's the best player available combined with the needs of our team? 800-919-3776. The tweets are also pouring in, Ty. At Rothenberg ESPN. So let me read one of these tweets. Where do you think the two quarterbacks go today in Fromm and Eason? Is there a landing spot for these guys? Honestly, if the Jets snapped up one of those guys and made it, you know, turn him into kind of a project, there was a time, and I think ESPN had this headline a couple of years ago, about Jacob Fromm being the top selection in this draft. Forget about Burrow or Tua or Herbert or any of these guys. Fromm was considered that level of talent. If you could get that in the fifth round, and I know a lot of people don't love Adam Gase, but the one thing you have to say is he's a smart offensive guy, and just kind of make him a pet project for your head coach, I don't think there's any harm in that, especially because you have a lot of picks. 800-919-3776. Ty, do you need to go again, or can we go to one of the many calls we have on hold?
Let's go to the calls. I'll wait.
Let's go to Mitch in East Windsor. Mitch, you're next up on the Frenzy.
Dave, which quarterback goes first, Fromm or Eason, which I believe both of them could beat out Jones from the Giants? Why are they still on the board?
Mitch, honestly, you know what? I almost feel like I shouldn't answer your question because it's so disrespectful. I didn't love the pick of Daniel Jones last year either, but to say that they could beat him out, he had a good rookie season and he showed a ton of promise. I think Fromm goes first, but that, you're better than that. Luke in Connecticut. Luke, you're on the Frenzy.
Are the Niners still the team to beat in the NFC?
Yeah. I mean, look what they've done. I mean, they bring in Kinlaw as a replacement. Their quarterback is, they add receiver here. I really like what the Niners have done. I love their coach. I love their GM. I think they're a smart football team. Who's better than the Niners right now? You tell me. Now, if you said you can have Niners or the field in the NFC, I'd take the field. But I really like what San Francisco has here. And I think they're well run and they're an excellent organization. So, yeah, I look at them as the, and I wouldn't even say kind of the favorites. I would say I think it's Niners followed by Saints. The NFC's got a lot of talented teams. I mean, the Seahawks are good. The Bucks, I know people love them. I think there's some questions surrounding them, but they're certainly a good football team. And then, you know, Eagles and Cowboys, the Packers are still a good team. So the NFC has a lot of talent, but for my money, it still goes through San Francisco. They're still the best team in this conference right now. 800-919-3776. Let's continue along. Let's go to Claude in Summit, New Jersey. Claude, you're on the Frenzy.
What do you think about Hurts to the Eagles?
I don't understand. I really don't. I mean, I'm not saying he won't be a successful NFL quarterback. I think it's a dumb pick. I mean, you talk about second round. You look at the Jets. You look at the Giants. You look at these guys and you say, they should produce for these teams. I'm going to draft a backup quarterback. And you know what else I heard last night, which just it was ridiculous, is, well, they're going to put in a package for Jalen Hurts. If you love your quarterback, why would you want to take him off the field? It seems stupid to me. Like, could you imagine? Yeah, we're gonna have a guy that we can bring in and you know, have a package so that Mahomes comes off the field. You'd be like, no! Why would I take Mahomes off the field? Why would I want to take Carson Wentz off the field? When he's healthy, he's a top quarterback in the league. So I want to find ways to take him off the field. I think you'd want to find ways to keep him on the field more. Not the opposite. Very strange from the Eagles. Harry, Staten Island, you're on the Frenzy, Harry.
Should the Giants sign Saquon Barkley to a long-term deal?
No, but they will. I mean, I don't know if you heard me say the other day on our show, in a perfect world, and I know there's no chance it happens, in a perfect world, the Giants would trade Saquon Barkley. Because you're gonna start paying your running back, what, $16, $17 million a year? It's too much money. Yeah, there's got to be better ways to spend it. And he's great. And I think he's going to have a monster season, and the offensive line is going to be better, and Jones and all of it. But you can't, I think you will see at some point, it's going to be very hard to win in this league paying your running back upwards of $15 million a year. You've been very patient, Ty, so let me bring you back in on the Frenzy.
All right, so the Cowboys got a little fortunate. CeeDee Lamb dropped in the draft enough for them to take him. With their selection in the first round. We saw them be one of the most potent offenses in the NFL last year, yards-wise. Do you think they'll be top three, top five once again this year?
Yeah, for a number of reasons. Firstly, I think their offense is littered with talent. I mean, I make fun of Prescott all the time. He's good. Their offensive line is excellent. Cooper's terrific. Now they add CeeDee Lamb. Elliott's an elite running back. And on top of that, they need to be. Their defense is not great. They're going to allow points. They're going to have to outscore teams often. So for all those reasons, yeah, I mean, it's hard to argue with the talent. that the Cowboys have. It really is. They're a very, very talented offense right now with a lot of questions defensively. 800-919-3776 on Twitter at Rothenberg ESPN. Rob in Red Bank. Rob, you're next up on the Frenzy.
People's Jones, Donovan's People's Jones, or Tyler Johnson for the Giants next pick?
Johnson's the kid out of Minnesota, right?
Yeah, and then People's Jones is the Michigan kid.
Michigan, yeah. I like Johnson a lot, and I remember he had a, because he was so terrific, and remember, Minnesota was good. They were undefeated for a long time, and I think they beat Penn State, and he had a monster game in that Penn State game. And I was talking to someone, I don't remember who it was as a draft guy, and he said, you know, Johnson's just not going to go before the sixth round. And I thought, what am I missing here with this kid? He seems to have it, I guess, speed-wise. He doesn't. I like him a lot. I would go in that direction, but not yet. I don't think he's considered a fourth-round talent. Let's continue along. Go to Ray in North Bergen. Ray, you're next up on the Frenzy.
Hey, Dave, would you declare the Giants secondary fix as is already with the draft pick of Xavier McKinney?
No. No, I think you need it. I mean, so let's think about this, right? Bradbury's your number one corner. Baker's your number two. Beal's your three. After that, when you're talking cornerback, what do you have? You need more corners, and you probably could use another safety. I don't know that they take another safety now, because McKinney, Peppers, and Love are your three safeties. But no, as far as depth is concerned, the Giants still need more. I think they're going to take at least one more corner. You have a lot of picks, so you're going to take at least one more corner. Kevin in Maplewood. Kevin, you're on the Frenzy.
Will my Cincinnati Bengals win a playoff game in the next 5 years?
Yeah. I think that, do you know how long it's been? Ty, do you have any idea how long it's been since the Bengals have won a playoff game?
It's
a playoff
been game. Three decades. I believe it was 1990.
29 years.
Yeah.
How old were you 29 years ago?
I was -2.
So it's factual to say the Bengals have not won a playoff game in your lifetime.
Yes, a lot of one and dones. But it's not like they haven't made the playoffs.
No, they've made the playoff plenty of times.
But under Marvin Lewis, they were one and done every year.
Every year. And then the one year that they had a real chance with Carson Palmer, like second play of the game, Kimo von Olhoffen crushes his knee and he tears his ACL and that's it for him. Yeah?
Very sad.
Very sad. So would you say, I think in the next 5 years they're a playoff team though. What do you think?
Jake, I mean, listen, you've added a lot of talent during this draft, and I don't know how you feel. I was actually going to ask you a question. In terms of, like, obviously Joe Burrow goes number one. Tua goes five, but had he been healthy, he probably is the consensus number one overall pick. Who are you higher on right now? Because we can't ignore the injuries, but Burrow did go number one, so who are you higher on?
It's not even a debate for me, Burrow. Burrow's great. I love him. I think he's going to be a sensational NFL quarterback. He's got all the makings. He's got great pocket presence. He can tuck in and run. He's got a terrific arm. He's a winner. I love him. I think that Joe Burrow is going to have a sensational NFL career. And I worry a lot about the health of Tua. I think when healthy, he's great, but it's not something I have to worry about with Burrow. Let's go to D in Yonkers. D, you're next up on the Frenzy.
Hey, what's up? With the Packers taking Love, right? I know I hate people who do this, but outside the box, if Packers don't make the playoff this year and Dak doesn't get a long-term contract, you see McCarthy, Rodgers, Cowboys trade for McCarthy with the Cowboys trade for Rodgers.
No, because remember, they didn't get along in Green Bay. So why would they want to reunite that in Dallas? I don't think there's any chance that anything like that happens. No, absolutely not. Let's go. Oh, look, we go to the Midwest. Let's go to Jake in Illinois. Jake, you're on the Frenzy.
Where does Jamal Adams end up, and what do they get for him?
You know, if you would have called a week ago, if we had done had the foresight to do a Frenzy last Saturday, which Ty, you didn't, but that's okay.
Oh, I suggested it, and you said no.
No, I don't think you did.
Come on, let's not rewrite history.
I'd have to hear the tapes. But that being pushed to the side, if we would have had a Frenzy a week ago, I would have said that Jamal Adams would be a member of the Dallas Cowboys now. He's not going to be traded this weekend. We know that. I think Jamal Adams stays a member of the New York Jets. And Rich Cimini was on with us yesterday, and we asked him about Jamal, and he said he also thinks he stays a Jet. And I said, do you think that this is tenuous or this, you know, they get an extension? No, he said, no. This is going to be a long, drawn out issue. So do not expect it to be done soon, but I expect him to stay with,
and he should. You don't draft a player, a Pro Bowler, and then trade him away.
No,
you need good. You need good players.
Yeah, he's great. It's not a knock on him. You know, it's much like running back. I don't know that it's I'm willing to pay $17 million a year.
No,
to
but
a
wouldn't
safety.
Wouldn't you say right now a safety is more valuable than a running back? And I know you were just using that as an example.
I would, but I would much rather. Here was my take, and this was my analysis of it. If I could trade 17. Or get 17 from the Cowboys and give them Jamal Adams and turn around and use that pick to get Yannick Ngakoue. And having Ngakoue and spend the money I was going to spend on Adams for the edge rusher, that would have been the play that I would have tried to go with.
Completely disagree. And by the way, if you're not trading Rodgers, you just signed an extension. You know what the dead cap hit?
I didn't say they're going to trade Rodgers.
No. The caller suggested.
Now, Distant Hornet tweets to me, you take Drew Brees off the field. I'd say he's pretty good. Okay. Drew Brees is fine now. Drew Brees is not a special quarterback anymore. They take him off the field, I think honestly, in times to hide him because he is flawed. We're at the very end, guys. And I like Drew Brees, and he's been a Hall of Fame, first ballot, all those things quarterback. He's not at the same level as the Mahomes or the Russell Wilsons or any of these guys now. He's not even close to that anymore. Carson Wentz is better than Drew Brees. Talent-wise, he's better right now. Carson Wentz needs to be on the field. I don't understand the rationale of looking for ways to take Carson Wentz off the field. The only thing that makes sense to me in drafting Jalen Hurts in the second round, which to me is just, it's moronic, is they are basically telling you, we do not trust the health of Wentz and we need a quarterback that we're comfortable in. We don't have Nick Foles anymore. We don't trust Nate Sudfeld, whatever his name is, and we need a legitimate quarterback. The only thing that makes any semblance of sense. Carson in the Bronx, you're on the Frenzy, Carson.
Is the starting quarterback for the New England Patriots 2020 season opener, is he currently on the roster?
It's a great question. I don't know. I never thought it was going to be Stidham, but I still hold out hope that it could be Andy Dalton. But if I had to say, I think he's currently on the roster. I think week one, 2020, Jared Stidham is your starter for the Patriots. Which, again, if you had asked me that 2 months ago, I would have said there is absolutely no way. All right, Ty, do you have one more to kind of put a bow on this? Because I know you wanted to get your questions in.
So let's just build off of that. Mm-hmm. Where are we going with Jameis Winston, Cam Newton? I know this has been a hot topic for the last couple of months because we really had nothing to talk about. But which one do you think would be the best fit? Like, money aside, let's just even the playing field. Jameis Winston, Cam Newton to New England, because no one's sold on Jared Stidham.
All right. Are you giving me health with Cam Newton?
Yes. Let's just, for the purpose of this argument, assume health is not a question, though that might be a little unfair.
I would go with New England with Cam Newton. I mean, when healthy, he's terrific. We just saw a healthy Jameis Winston. He got intercepted 30 times.
He also threw 30 touchdowns.
Okay.
I'm just presenting the other side.
If your ratio, did he throw 30 touchdowns exactly? Was that his numbers?
I'll look it up. I think he might have thrown more than 30, but I guess just because of the joke, it was 30 for 30.
Right. No, I think when he's healthy, that Cam Newton is the better quarterback. He threw 30 interceptions, and I get that he threw a lot of touchdowns and threw for 5,000 yards, but come on.
33 touchdowns last year.
At 33 to 30?
Yes.
So, I mean, go through any quarterback. When you're, let's call it the plus minus. He's plus 3? Ty, plus 3 is horrendous.
Yeah, that's not good.
You can't win.
He threw
games
for 5,000 yards. Now a lot of that has to do with they were trailing in games because of him, so they had to air the ball out. But so you think Cam Newton's the better fit?
Well, let's attack this for a second. Not even including fumbles, based solely on interceptions. Tampa Bay turned the ball over on average of 2 times a game, based on the interception. How in the world can you win football games if you're going to lose the turnover battle almost every single week?
Well, he did get the LASIK surgery.
And you think that that just flips the switch, and now he, all of a sudden he's a
Well, listen, I mean, it might sound comical, but if part of the reason why he struggled with decision-making was because the guy couldn't see, couldn't tell the difference between the two jerseys, then maybe we'll see a decrease in the turnover rate.
Shame on Tampa. If that is true and that happens, then Tampa is the laughing stock in the NFL.
Well,
I mean, they didn't figure out.
They just got Tom Brady, so that, I mean.
Well, you know what? You also wasted the top overall selection because you didn't know that he needed LASIK surgery. Embarrassing. All right, blow the whistle on this, would you? Very nicely done.
You're listening to the Dave Rothenberg Show podcast on ESPNNewYork.com.